Ata Maria, everyone. Morena. The first reading is from Isaiah, chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. Down a bit. This comes from a time when Judah was threatened by a powerful neighbor, Assyria. Isaiah saw that the real threat was not merely the might of Assyria, but the nation's own sin and disobedience to God, and their lack of trust in him. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu, a te wairua ki te hahi. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. This gospel is filled with a concern for people with all kinds of need. And this reading tells of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not, because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. This is the Gospel of Christ. Te ronga pai tēnei a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe me tia ia tia kupu mana.
Hallelujah. There you go. It's great to have a good reading, good encouragement from the pews. Usually I just get a, help him, Jesus. All right, am I mic'd up and okay?
Yeah, yes.
Fantastic. Wow. It's all, yeah, I'd better say. Got a bag on me. Woo! Good thing I'm not falling to bits, I'm all good. I think we're all okay. Fantastic. Confronting reading from Isaiah, who found it a little bit confronting there? Fantastic, good, great, it was supposed to be, excellent. Hey, I've got to start by saying I love the church. When I came to faith as a 16-year-old, every Sunday I would be at church. I would go to a little Anglican church in Nio in the mornings, and I'd go to a big Pentecostal church down Noronga Gorge in the evenings, and I just loved it. It was a faith community, that regular pattern of gathering with God's people in worship just kind of held me as I was starting out my Christian journey. I had people too who said, you know, if you want to know about God, you need to read scripture. And they fortunately pointed me in the direction of the Gospels rather than just starting at the beginning, you know, otherwise I probably would have, I don't know, given up halfway through Leviticus or something. But I got into the Gospels, and what I loved about reading the Gospels is I saw ordinary people coming and having extraordinary encounters with Jesus, life-transforming encounters with Jesus. And I could relate to that. I was like, that's me. I've had a life-transforming encounter with Jesus. And then, of course, as you hear more and more of Jesus' teaching, it's like that transformation continues as you start to put into action this new way of being, lives that are genuinely transformed, not just in an event, a conversion event, but ongoingly. And then these transformed lives, of course, we're led out into the world to be agents of transformation in the world and to see God's kingdom grow and to partner with God in his mission in the world. And I just loved that. So Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, I was reading and it just felt so relevant, and I could see it, the way in which that related so much to my life. And then I kind of got on a little bit and we moved into Acts. And Acts was an interesting read for me because I found it somewhat more challenging for me. Not because I don't like Acts. I love Acts. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. But here you see the early church, right? The way in which God is just causing it to flourish. You're seeing people coming to faith every day. It says God added daily to their number those who are being saved. You see people being healed. You see lives transformed. You see communities being transformed as the gospel spreads throughout Jerusalem and then out around the Mediterranean and all the rest of it. It's just so inspiring. Lives transformed, people healed, people empowered to bear witness to who Jesus is in the world. And I loved reading that, but what I found challenging was as I trotted across into church on a Sunday morning, I'd be like, this is good, but it's not this. I'm reading about this, but I'm not seeing it in my local church. What I want to see in my local church is I want to see people come into have genuine encounters with a living God. I want to see people come to faith. I want to see lives transformed. I want to see people healed as we worship, like hearts just poured out in worship to God. And I mean, it's good, but it's not what I'm reading in Acts. And I kind of got this sense of a little bit of dissatisfaction. Maybe it was like, you know, new Christian dissatisfaction or teenage dissatisfaction or something, but it kind of just stuck with me a little bit. I remember saying to someone, and I think I was only half joking, that, you know, like our little Anglican church was a very liturgical church, and I said, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, I've just read Acts 2, I've read about the day of Pentecost and all the rest of it, and I sort of feel like if this happened in my local church, you know, if the doors and the windows were blown open, if the Holy Spirit rushed in, if people were filled with the Spirit, if we saw tongues of fire resting on people's heads, people pushed out into the streets to go and witness to Jesus, if we, you know, if that happened in our church, I feel like the doors and windows would fly open. We'd all go, ah! Anyway, our service continues on page 416 of our prayer books. You know, I just feel like there'd just be like this. We're kind of not expecting God to move. There's not space. There's not room for God to kind of move. And I feel like we don't have any sense of expectation that our church would see the sort of things that I was seeing when I was reading Acts. And a part of me was frustrated by that. I was like, why is that? Well, there might be actually lots of reasons, but I'm just going to use our gospel reading today to dive into what I think God might be trying to say to us today, because I love this encounter with Zacchaeus. I mean, it's a favorite story, right? Like, it's a great story. I think it might have something to say to us today. So Jesus is heading through Jericho, and a crowd is gathering. Obviously, Jesus is a big deal. People are wanting to come out and see what he's going to do next, see what he's going to say next. And so a big crowd is gathering. But Zacchaeus doesn't want to just be part of the crowd, partly because he's short and you won't see anything from the back of the crowd. But he decides, I don't just want to be part of the crowd. I really want to see Jesus. And so he runs on ahead, and you've got to remember, this is quite a distinguished man in the community. He's a wealthy man, well-known man in the community, not for all the right reasons, but he is well-known and he's wealthy. But he runs ahead and he climbs up a tree, a pretty sort of, not the sort of thing you'd expect a distinguished gentleman in our community to do, but he climbs up a tree and he wants to get a view of Jesus because he's desperate to see Jesus. And Jesus travels along and stops at the tree and looks up and says, Zacchaeus, come down. And now, as far as we know, Jesus didn't even know Zacchaeus, but yet he calls him by name. He sees him and he calls him by name. And he invites him down and says, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your place. I want to stay with you a while. I want to share food with you. I want to enter into a deeper relationship with you. Or maybe really what Jesus is saying, because Jesus already knows him, obviously, is Zacchaeus, I want to invite you into a deeper relationship with me. And now everyone in the crowd kind of rolls his eyes. They're like, oh, no, not Zacchaeus. He's a dork. You know, they just, what you don't know about this guy is that he just steals. He's a tax collector. He's stealing from his community. He's feathering his own nest. He's never done a generous act in his life. He basically just uses his wealth for his own well-being and rips off everyone else around him. And Zacchaeus is there and he goes, actually, Jesus, they're right. That has been my life. I have been ripping people off. I am aware of my sin. And in fact, what I'm aware that I need to do is repent. I need to address this area of my sin, my attachment to wealth. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to repent and lay it down. I'm going to give half my possessions away to the poor. And for all of you who are ripped off, I'm going to pay you back four times what I owe you. And Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. And this is why I came, to seek and to save what was lost. And I just love this story. This is like what I, when I read the Gospels, I just think a genuine transformative encounter with Jesus. Now a part of me just goes, that's what I want every time I come to church. You know, I'd love it if I'm just here, just that sense that God might speak into my life and go, Ben, I know you. I know what's going on in your life. I love you. And I want to invite you into deeper relationship with me today, a transformative relationship with me today. And a part of me longs for that every single time I come to church. But do you know what? There's also another part of me that gets a bit worried about that happening. Right? What if Jesus said, Ben, calls me by name and says, I love you, my grace is for you. What I'm needing, though, is for you to lay down your life. What I'm needing for you, from you, is to surrender areas of your life that you have kept unsurrendered to me. What I'm needing from you today, Ben, is to confess and repent from sin. Would you do that? And a part of me is like, oh, don't know if I want to hear from Jesus after all. You know, it's. Do we wrestle with that? Do you wrestle with that? There's that two. Part of me just wants, is so glad that I'm known by God. And a part of me is like, you know, and we all have those areas of our lives that are unsurrendered, that are a work in progress. And so sometimes I feel a bit nervous about it. I'm excited. Every time I come to church, I want to have a genuine, deep encounter with God. And also I'm like, oof, I wonder what that might mean for my life. Now, if I was interviewing you all as you came in the door today, and I said to you, what do you think's going to happen at church today? What do you reckon you would have said? I reckon most of you, if not all of you, would have gone, oh, well, we'll come in, we'll gather, we'll catch up with one another, we'll say hi to a few people, then we'll get up and Bert will start the service and we'll sing a song and then we'll have a confession time and we'll sing a couple more songs. Someone's going to do a Bible reading. Someone's going to share a little reflection on the scriptures. We'll sing another song. We'll take communion together. We'll do our family celebration. We'll hand out some chocolate. One more song and then we're out to a cup of tea. Right? You all know the drill. Unless you're new here, then welcome. That's what's going to happen. No. There's going to be... You know, I sometimes wonder if we don't come in with a sense of genuine, hopeful expectation of meeting God. If we just already know what God's going to do. We already know what's going to happen in our service. I think if you'd asked me that question last weekend when I was coming to church, I would have been, yeah, this is what we'd kind of do. And it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. It's good. But I just wonder sometimes what might happen if we came with a hopeful sense of expectation or a sense of desperation just that we wanted an authentic encounter with Jesus today. You know, imagine if you were just welcoming at the door and someone came in and you said to them, well, what do you think is going to happen at church today? And they said, I don't know, but I'm just hopeful of a transformative encounter with Jesus. I'm just desperate to see Jesus today. You know, I've just been so aware this week of my own brokenness. I've been so aware of my need for God. I've been so aware of areas of my life that are just unsurrendered, and I just want to come here today and I just want to get on my knees and lay down my life. I want to repent. There are things in my life I just need to get right. And I want to be transformed. I don't want to leave here today the same way I was when I came in. Imagine if someone said that to you. Wouldn't it be kind of inspiring? I'd be like, wow, you're right. You're right. That's what I need too. And I thought, you know, there's a part of me that still is like that teenage kid who came to faith who just goes, I don't want to do church where we just kind of come and do church and then leave. And then we come back the next week and we do church again and then we just, you know, I want something more. And sometimes I feel like God wants something more from us too. You know, I read that Isaiah reading today and a part of me is like, phew. I was asked today, you're going to preach on that one, Ben? And I was like, I'm going to mention it. Oh, don't worry, I'm going to mention it. I mean, just imagine that. Like, God's like, I'm sick of your songs. I hate them. I don't want any more songs from you guys. You know, you show up week after week, but you might as well not be here. Your religious festivals, not so keen on those either. Your carefully curated services and your beautiful liturgical words, nah, I hate that. Imagine God saying that to us. Just stop singing. But then instead God says this, what I really want from you, I want you to come here today ready to lay down your lives. I want you to come here today with a heart that is open to me speaking into your life and calling you once more. I want you to be ready to be broken with a heart for the lost, the poor, those in our community who are struggling. I want you to come in today and have a transformative experience of my presence and power and then go out there and share it with great love. Share great faith. share great hope with a world that needs to hear it. That's what I want from my people. Would you be up for that? You've probably heard this, half of you will have heard this story before, but 30 years ago there was a church in the UK that was big and it was flourishing and it had heaps of people coming. It was like a big deal. It had an incredible worship team with some amazing worship leaders. And just people just kept coming to this place. And but the leadership team started to feel like after a while they'd lost the point of why they were gathering. People were still coming, they were still preaching, there was great preachers, great music, all the rest of it. But they felt like they'd kind of lost the point of why they gathered. And what they felt was God calling them, just stop it. Just stop it. Just come and gather and wait on me. And so they were really brave. They said, look, this is what we feel as a leadership team that God is asking of us. And we just, so what we're going to do is we're going to gather next week, but we're not going to have a worship team. And we're not going to have a preacher. We're just going to gather and just see what God does. And so you can just imagine, the first few weeks. Bit awkward. What do we do now, you know? And apparently it was really awkward for a few weeks. So they were sort of like, well, let's just, why don't we pray? Let's just take some time to pray. And, you know, so everyone, you know, maybe someone in the pew shares a prayer offering, you know. Maybe someone in the pew kind of pulled out a reading and went, oh, I just feel like maybe I could read this today. Yeah, go for it. Go for it. We've got an hour to fill. Go for it, you know. Maybe someone at the back just started a song and so everyone kind of joined in for a few verses and then it kind of just petered out. Back to awkward silence. Minutes to fill. Can you imagine it? But after a while, they started to find their feet with God again. They started to find what it meant to actually really, to really pray, not just listen to someone at the front pray. To really worship, not just listen to a great band play. To really break open God's word and just really reflect on that. To be challenged by it once more. And out of that time, as many of you will know, a young worship leader called Matt Redman wrote a song called Heart of Worship. And it was just basically based upon that experience of realizing that God sort of wants more from us than just religious observance. You know, more from us than just rolling in and singing our songs and having our cup of tea and then leaving. He's after this. Our hearts. You know, when we read a story like Zacchaeus, we get inspired again because you see what God can do with a heart that is broken and contrite and will be laid down as a true offering before God. So what I want us to do in a moment is I'm going to ask us to stand. And don't worry, I'm not going to make you stand for an hour and just see what God does. But let's give God 2-3 minutes, shall we? Generous of us, I know. 2-3 minutes where we just wait upon God. Where we just see what God might want to whisper into our hearts today. What God might want to share in our midst today. And then when we're ready, I'll just pull that time together and we'll sing Heart of Worship. Just very simply. I've just got a guitar there. I'll just wander down there with a guitar and we'll just sing. And then we'll come and we'll take communion together. And we'll just be God's people here in this place. So would you like to stand? I'll just pray and then we'll just hold a time of silence if that's okay. If you need to sit or you feel called to kneel or you want to open a Bible and have a read or to jump into a prayer book, whatever, the space is yours, obviously. But let me just pray and then we'll just leave the space and see what God wants to do. God, you are our God and we are your people. We feel the stirring in our midst where We want to worship you in spirit and in truth with a true sense of authenticity. We don't want to just do church and walk away. We want to know the power of your transforming presence in our midst. And so we just open up the floor to you now. This space is yours. Pray that you do call us by name. That you make us aware of your love for us, your grace towards us, your call upon our lives once more. And as we do, Lord, I just pray that you would move our hearts to respond. You know, if there's areas of our lives that we need to surrender, you would make that obvious to us. Not condemning us, but through the conviction of your Holy Spirit, our lives might be genuinely transformed today. Lord, I pray that you re-empower us, that you fill us once more with your Holy Spirit, that we would minister into a broken world in your name and in your strength, not our own. And Lord, we pray for this community of Waikanae, for Parapara Umu, for the surrounding areas and communities. Lord, we pray your kingdom come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.